tonight with a male portrayal, friend of mine. You know, he's a repeat defender on our program from Birmingham, Alabama. A preacher for the Shade Mountain Church of Christ. He's our speaker for tonight. And at this time, Brother Petrie, I'll make it plain about the one way to heaven.
Thank you, Brother Tommy. Thank you, Brother Flunder, and all of our good brethren who have put on this great program for so long now. And I am so honored to be back with you on this Thursday night, March the 25th. I was scheduled to be with you back in December, and my wife and I had a little bout with the coronavirus, and we recovered completely and fully. And I'm just honored to join you, good brethren, tonight, not just here in Alabama, not just in Texas, but all over the country. And I join with Brother Tommy and the other good brethren in welcoming you and thanking you for taking time out of your schedule tonight to be a part of the Gospel Meeting Conference call. Let me begin by telling you what I believe you already know. There is a religious denomination known as the Unitarian Universalist Church. The Unitarian Universalist Church. This is not the Lord's Church. This is a human religious denomination. I know some people who are members of it. They happen to be friends of my wife and I. We love them and appreciate them, but of course we disagree with their religious convictions. Now, it is the conviction of the Unitarian Universalist Church that ultimately everyone will be saved. Now, with that, we must disagree. We disagree kindly, yet we disagree boldly as well, my brethren and my friends. Let me repeat that. I hope you'll get that at the outset of our study tonight at this 9 o'clock hour. Again, it is the conviction of the Unitarian Universalist Church that ultimately everyone will be saved, that ultimately everyone will go to heaven. And I simply, on the basis of my knowledge of the New Testament, on the basis of my knowledge of the Word of God, cannot agree with that conclusion. I'm reminded, as you are, immediately of what our Lord said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, Matthew 7 and verse 21. Brethren, if that were the only verse that I had to hang my hat on, so to speak, if that were the only verse that we had, period, relative to the matter at hand, it would be more than sufficient. May I quote it before you one more time? I'll be quoting tonight from the King James Version. Follow along in your Bible. One more time from Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, I grew up hearing gospel preachers say, and I believe rightly so, that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. You've heard that. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. I believe that because it's grounded in the language of the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, again, Matthew records this, but the speaker is our Lord. And it's part of a larger section, admittedly. We're just looking at one verse here, but at your leisure, you might read tonight, maybe before you pillow your head tonight, read the entirety of Matthew chapter 25 and be rewarded for doing just that. But in Matthew 25 and verse 34, our Lord said, then shall the king say to them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Indeed, brethren, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And those who have prepared are those who deal, or rather do, the will of our Father which is in heaven. And that is something that can be gauged. We can measure that. We can know whether we're doing the will of our Father which is in heaven on the basis of any number of passages that are found throughout the pages and on the pages of the New Testament. Now, before we leave Matthew chapter 25, and I give you an idea about where we'll spend the remainder of our time in the body of our sermon tonight, won't you take a quick gander at the closing verse of chapter 25 of the Gospel of Matthew? Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, again says in your Bible and in mine, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. But the righteous unto life eternal. Heaven, again, if I may say it for a third and final time, is indeed a prepared place for a prepared people. We are those who are doing the will of our Father, which is in heaven, Matthew 7:21. And thus heaven is prepared for us. We are the righteous brethren, and therefore heaven has been prepared for us. Now, what I would like to do in the remainder of our time tonight, dear brethren, is to remind you of some of the blessings of heaven. And when we're reminded of the blessings of heaven, then in looking at those blessings, I believe, I'm convinced, that they will give us insight about whom heaven is for. So again, let me repeat that for your benefit and for all of our benefit, for that matter, brethren. Tonight, let's consider in the remainder of our time the blessings of heaven. And in looking at these individual, if you will, and collective, the body of Christ's blessings of heaven, we will, in doing so, my brethren and my friends, we will, in doing so, have a bigger picture and a better picture of whom heaven has been prepared for. I hope your minds are open. I know they are. I hope your Bibles are open. I believe they are. And with open minds and open Bibles, let's consider the blessings of heaven and the insight they provide to us and for us about heaven being a prepared place for a prepared people. Point number one, dear brethren and friends, heaven is a place of radiance. Heaven is a place of radiance. Indeed it is. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 5, here's what the Apostle John wrote in the long ago. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Heaven, brethren and friends, is a prepared place for a prepared people. And our first point, our first blessing tonight is, heaven is a place of radiance. One more time, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 5. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. May I remind you, before we go to our second point tonight, that according to the Gospel of John, chapter 8 and verse 12, our Lord said, I am the light of the world. Indeed, I am the light of the world. And the Gospel of John, in fact, begins in John chapter 1 and following with these words. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was, watch it now, brethren, the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John 1:1-5 from the King James Version. Brethren and friends, heaven is a place of radiance, and there shall be no night there. I love that. I take comfort in that. I, like you, love the brilliance and the brightness of the noonday sun. We're having considerable storm activity and tornado activity here in Alabama, in central Alabama, even as I speak. We've had it going on for the better part of the day. And sadly, there have been a great deal of loss of life. At least five have died here in Alabama. South of us here in Birmingham, darkness, brethren, has overtaken us. Night has fallen. Death has overtaken some tonight with the storms that have interacted with humanity. But in that heavenly realm, there will be no night. We won't need a candle. We won't need the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Point number two, dear brethren, heaven is not only a place of radiance, but heaven is a place of relief. Why don't you go with me to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. Heaven will be a place of relief. Revelation 21 and verse 4, a verse we all know. There again, John said, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Heaven, brethren and friends, it awaits us, awaits the faithful, the righteous of whom we are. It awaits those who do the will of our Father, which is in heaven. Again, back to Matthew 7:21. Heaven awaits us, and it is a place of radiance, point number one, and it is a place of relief, point number two. Again, no doubt, many are mourning tonight here in Alabama, and for that matter, all over the country and all over the world, due to the death of a loved one, the death of a member of their church family, the death of a neighbor, the death of a friend, of a co-worker, and death is so common. But listen to the words of John again as moved by the Spirit of God. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." The day is coming, dear brethren and friends, when the life that now is over, and the life that is to come will be a reality for you and me. And when we are there, it will be, heaven will be, a place of relief. I'm reminded of what Paul wrote in Romans 8 and verse 18. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Romans 8, 18. But indeed, we do have the sufferings of this present time. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, there the apostle Paul to the young preacher Timothy said, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, connected to Romans 8 and verse 18. And then all of that connected back, brethren and friends, to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. Point number three tonight, dear brethren and friends. Heaven is what kind of place? What kind of blessings may we expect, dear brethren and friends? Well, point number three, heaven is a place of rest. Heaven is a place of rest. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, again, the apostle John said, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Right, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth," watch it now, brethren, "yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. Heaven is a place of radiance, point number one, of relief, point number two, and a place of rest, a rest from our labors, our spiritual, our Christian labors now here on this earth. And so heaven will be a place of radiance, relief, and rest. In connection with our third point tonight, I remind you of what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9. "There remaineth therefore a Sabbath rest to the people of God." There remaineth therefore a Sabbath rest to the people of God, because you and I believe, we know, dear brethren and friends, that heaven is a place of rest. Point number four, the blessings of heaven. What kind of place will heaven be? In knowing about heaven, we know about whom heaven has been prepared for. And point number four, blessing number four, heaven is a place of reaping. Heaven is a place of reaping. In the book of Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, there the Apostle Paul said in the long ago, watch it now, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Did you get the last part of that? "But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Because heaven, brethren and friends, heaven is a place of reaping. You've already gathered tonight, my brethren, that we're using some R words. At least one of the words with each of our points tonight is a word itself that begins with the letter R. Heaven is a place of radiance. Point number one, Revelation 22 and verse 5. Heaven is a place of relief. point number two from Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. Heaven is a place, brethren and friends, of rest, of rest. Point number three, Revelation 14 and verse 13, and also Hebrews 4 and verse 9. And what we're just noting, heaven is a place of reaping. Point number four, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. May I quote it one more time, embed it into the very fabric of your memory. Heaven is a place of reaping. Galatians 6, 7 and 8, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Reaping is so very important. And we do some reaping now, do we not? Of course we do. I'm reminded of a statement made by our Lord in the Gospel of John. If you care to turn there quickly, the Gospel of John, chapter 4. And in John chapter 4, brethren and friends, we find a wonderful statement from the pen of our Lord and Savior. And there, John said in the long ago, he said that he has to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. I'm in John chapter 4. I'm looking at verses 34 and 35. Again, our Lord said, my meat, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not, listen carefully to what our Lord says here. Say not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. The Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 34 and 35 from the King James Version. Yes, there's reaping that takes place now. We do need to lift up our eyes and look on the fields, for they are indeed, as our Lord indicated, white unto, again, they're white unto salvation. They are white and ready to be reaped, are they not? Point number five tonight, brethren and friends, the blessings of heaven. Heaven is a place of rejoicing. Point number five, heaven is a place of rejoicing. Back to Matthew chapter 25. We spent a bit of time tonight in Matthew 25 and also in the book of Revelation. We make no apologies for that. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21, and it's repeated, by the way, as you know, in verse 23. Our Lord said these well-known words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Did you get that? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. In our Bibles, in the original Greek that our New Testament was written in, the Koine Greek, joy and rejoicing are from the same root word. And so tonight we say, and we say loudly, and we say proudly, and we say lovingly and kindly, and yet boldly, that heaven is a place of rejoicing. And we know, as our Lord said, as he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in to the joy of thy Lord. Heaven is a place of radiance. Heaven is a place of relief. Heaven is a place of rest. Heaven is a place of reaping. And point number five, heaven is a place of rejoicing. Let's add a few more to this, at least two or three more in the time that we have remaining. It's about 19 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. We've got just a few minutes left. I again appreciate your careful attention with open minds and open Bibles to the Word of God and our theme concerning heaven tonight. Again, I know I say it, and I've said it, and I'll say it again. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. We believe ourselves to be that prepared people. We believe we are the righteous. We are those who are doing the will of our Father which is in heaven. We are the faithful, dear brethren and friends. And thus the blessings of heaven will one day be ours to enjoy. And so continue with me, point number six tonight, dear brethren and friends. Heaven is a place of reunion. heaven is a place of reunion. Another R word, and I direct your attention to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11. Now, you won't find the word reunion in Matthew 8 and verse 11, but the idea is there, brethren, I assure you. The concept is there, I promise you. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11, and again I'm quoting from the old King James Bible, here's what our Lord said in Matthew recorded, "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and from the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Because heaven, brethren and friends, as indicated in that verse, is a place of reunion indeed. My family enjoyed a little reunion this past October in my hometown of Pocahontas, Arkansas, for the 84th birthday of my mother. And my mother and father are happily married and have been for many, many, many decades, and they enjoy pretty good health. And we had a nice and lovely and wonderful, if I may put it like that, family reunion. But as wonderful and nice and lovely as it was, it was nothing to be compared with the reunion that we will enjoy again after that last great day, when our Lord does say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." When he does say, "Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world," combining Matthew 25:21 with Matthew 25 and verse 34. When our Lord does say that, and we do inherit heaven, brethren, oh, what a reunion awaits us with the faithful of all the ages. I don't wish away my life, and I know that you do not either, but I do look forward to and long for the day when I can take part in the reunion that is above and unlike every other reunion. May I quote it one more time, and we'll look at a seventh and eighth point tonight quickly before our time is eclipsed. Matthew 8 and verse 11. "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and from the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." If that does not intrigue us and appeal to us, then there's a problem with us. And it ought to intrigue us and it ought to appeal to us. And I know it does you and I know it does me. Point number seven tonight, dear brethren and friends. Again, the blessings of heaven are our words tonight. Heaven is a place, point number seven, of responsibility. Back to the book of Revelation. Back to Revelation chapter 22. We began with point number one, of course. Heaven is a place of radiance, and we noticed Revelation 22 and verse 5. And now we're back in Revelation chapter 22 with our next to the last point, and we're highlighting that heaven is a place of responsibility. Heaven is a place of responsibility. Won't you take a quick look at Revelation 22 and verse 3, just the closing clause of Revelation 22 and verse 3. And there the Apostle John, moved by the Spirit of our Lord, said, "And his servants shall serve him there." And his servants shall serve him there. The word "serve" is from a Greek word, latruo, that very literally refers to the carrying out, the carrying out of religious duties. In heaven, brethren and friends, we won't be kicked back on lounge chairs and drinking Diet Mountain Dew and eating bonbons or pizza or whatever appeals to you. And I don't mean to be silly with that, but we're not going to be reclining in chairs of ease. Heaven will be a place of rest from our labors on this earth, no doubt, as we noted with point number three earlier, and drew that from Revelation 14:13. But it will also, without contradiction, be a place of responsibility. Look at it again for a final time at 9:24 tonight. Heaven will be a place of responsibility, and Revelation 22 and verse 3 concludes with, "And his servants shall serve him there." We will gladly serve the God of heaven and earth, the Lord of all, indeed, Jesus the Christ. And we will serve him there. We will carry out religious duties there, and we will do it without complaint. We will do it without any back talk. We will do it without any odd sideways looks. We will do it without any issue on our part whatsoever, because we understand that heaven being a place of responsibility is indeed a blessing. We have responsibilities now, and we will have them in heaven. And brethren and friends, I don't shirk my responsibilities now, and I will not in heaven. Point number 8, and finally tonight at about 9:25 on this Thursday evening, this rainy, stormy evening here in Birmingham, Alabama. Heaven, point number 8, brethren and friends, heaven is a place of reward. Heaven is a place of reward. Our final R word tonight, heaven is a place of reward. And I would like to direct you in closing tonight to Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, as our Lord there wraps up the Beatitude section of the Sermon on the Mount in the first of three chapters that, of course, as you know, constitute the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5 through 7. So take a quick gander at Matthew 5, 11 and 12, and then I'll direct you immediately over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. We'll make a few closing comments. We'll put an amen to it, and the sermon of the hour will be yours, my brethren and my friends. Point number 8, heaven is a place of reward. We're at Matthew 5, 11 and 12, and our Lord said, blessed are ye, look at these words, brethren, follow them in your Bible. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great, here we are now, for great is your reward which is in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you, Matthew 5, 11 and 12. Indeed, heaven is a place of reward. We can't earn or merit our salvation, but we are expected, I believe, and I believe you believe, we are expected to respond in loving obedience to the grace offering of salvation that God has made to us and for us. And we consummate that obedience in baptism and immersion for the forgiveness of our sins. Indeed. And being introduced by our Lord to his church, being added by our Lord to his church, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those being saved, Acts 2 and verse 47. As a member of the church, we can live faithful unto death, Revelation 2 and verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto thee a crown of life, again, Revelation 2 and verse 10. And then, at the end of this life, after that great day of judgment, when we hear our Lord say, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, when he says that, and when we enter in through the pearly gates, onto the golden streets of heaven itself, my brethren and my friends, we will have a reward for our faithfulness. Peter put it like this in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Brethren and friends, if I may say it again, one more time, run through the list we've noted tonight. Heaven is a place of radiance. Heaven is a place of relief. Heaven is a place of rest. Heaven is a place of reaping. Heaven is a place of rejoicing. Heaven is a place of reunion. Heaven is a place of responsibility. And heaven is a place of reward. And it's a place of all of those things, again, for those who do the will of our Father which is in heaven. Oh, dear brethren and friends, reach out to your neighbors. Reach out to your family members. Remember what our Lord said to the man called Legion in the Gospel of Mark chapter 5 and verse 19. Legion, the man who had been possessed by many demons and had them exorcised by our Lord and cast into the swine who ran off the cliff and were drowned. Well, that man desired in Mark chapter 5, according to around verse 18, desired to go with our Lord, but our Lord knew better. Our Lord knew better. And in Mark 5 and verse 19, there our Lord said to Legion, go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee. Won't you do that? Won't you do that tonight? Won't you awake tomorrow and do that? Go home to your friends, to your family members, to your neighbors, to your coworkers, to your schoolmates, and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for you. And tell them what our Lord said in Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. We end where we began tonight. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, dear brethren and friends. We love you and appreciate you and encourage you. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ tonight, reach out to someone who is. Look up the Church of Christ in your neighborhood, in your area. Study with them. Attend a worship service and know what you need to do to become a simple New Testament Christian, to be added by the Lord to his church, and one day for heaven to be your home and for you to enjoy the blessings that we've talked about tonight. God bless you, and Godspeed to you, and the lesson is yours.